Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, where we'll talk to the governor and meet with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Our differences and our diversity are what makes your Minnesota National Guard team strong. Regardless of our differences in gender, sexual orientation, or identity, race, or religion, we are united in our service. What matters in the Minnesota National Guard is the content of your character, your love of country, and your devotion to serve the people in our state and our nation. In the Minnesota National Guard, there are more than 13,000 brave, hardworking, and dedicated women and men who come from many different walks of life. Soldiers and airmen of every creed, color, and background serve together with distinction and honor. Despite our differences, we wear the same uniform, serve in the same state, and salute the same flag. In the Minnesota National Guard, there are pilots and military police, mechanics and cooks, logistics specialists, and cyber experts. These brave soldiers and airmen foster a culture of acceptance, dignity, and respect. Together, we are a team, standing shoulder to shoulder and protecting our great state and the United States of America, be it here at home, overseas, or wherever the call might take us. Our differences and our diversity are what makes your Minnesota National Guard team strong.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're recording live today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, and my guest joining me now is Brad Lindsay, who is the Interim Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Brad is an Army veteran who served in Operation Iraqi Freedom and served 14 years in the military police. He's also served as the Deputy Commissioner of Programs and Services for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs since 2014. And Brad, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Glad to be here. A
little different show out here than it is at the studio. We got all of this ambient noise, they call it.
Oh, yeah, a lot of background noise.
A lot of people here at the fair today, and they're honoring my fellow Vietnam veterans today. Pretty neat.
Absolutely, yeah, and they deserve every bit of it.
Well, it's been about 50 years. For some of us, 51. For some, 49, but it was pretty interesting to join the parade and walk from the Liney Lodge all the way down to Dan Patch Park, and I don't think I've ever experienced a thank you like that. It's pretty emotional.
Hopefully you and every one of those Vietnam vets felt as proud as we felt proud of them.
It's kind of a fun deal. Brad, we better get to work here. We are at the fair. Tell us about your role. You're now Interim Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and what does all that mean? And that means you're taking care of a lot of my Vietnam veteran buddies.
I am. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's just less than 300,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota, according to the federal VA and their statistics. So we have programs that I'm in charge of that go all the way from educational programs for when they come back from the service and go to school, to providing dignified burials at the end and everything in between, to include our five and soon to be eight state veterans homes and our four state veteran cemeteries, which just changed here on the 19th. We added our fourth cemetery down in Redwood Falls.
So it's a moving target, but approximately how many veterans do you look out for in Minnesota?
Well, hopefully we look at all of them. How many we touch, you know, it's specific to the different programs. There are about 100,000 of those 300,000 that are service-connected disabled in the state. So we help and advocate for federal benefits as well. So a lot of those who are getting that disability are because of our advocacy work to assist them.
So they have access to the Minneapolis VA hospital and all of those services that are fantastic out there.
Absolutely.
I'm a patient. I'm here to tell you they do a great job.
As am I. I agree.
But there's I've heard the numbers. There's about somewhere, give or take, around 300,000 veterans in Minnesota?
That's correct. And it's about 38 to 40% of them, as to use your example, who are using the VA hospital services, healthcare out there. So we've still got work to do, hoping to connect every one of them at some point.
Now, Brad, here in Minnesota, you work with what's called the CTF, or the Commander's Task Force.
Correct.
Which is the commanders of the eight federally recognized veteran service organizations, such as DAV, American Legion, VFW, Purple Heart, so on.
Right.
And they get together every year on a monthly basis and put together legislative agenda that mm-hmm. they take up to the Capitol, and then we have Vets Day on the Hill and those kind of things. It's my understanding that this year was the second year in a row that we had a separate veterans omnibus bill. Pretty important.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Commissioner Shelato started using the term, I think, first. He sees the Commander's Task Force as our board, sort of, that guides us and moves us towards our legislative initiatives every year. And as part of that, like you said, we're trying to avoid the partisanship, because the veterans' issues should not be partisan issues. We hope they're supported by both parties. And they have been, specifically the last 2 years. They've separated out all the Veterans and Military Affairs into one specific omnibus bill, so there's no shenanigans, I would say, when it comes time to get those passed and get those in place and serve our vets.
Well, what we're really saying is, if it's a separate veterans-only bill with veterans' issues, then we take the politics out of it.
There's nothing controversial. There shouldn't be anything controversial in helping veterans.
And the votes for those bills last year and the year before were almost unanimous.
Yes.
So it's a way better way to process those things. We're speaking with Brad Lindsay, the Interim Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, on Minnesota Military Radio. Brad, I've heard veterans from when I first joined the VFW, and I got back from Vietnam, the World War II guys were in there, Korean guys, and we've always heard that we kind of stand on the shoulders of those that came before us. Those guys from World War I, World War II, Korea, they did a heck of a job, and it seems like a lot more of them were in the state legislature or in Congress. Yeah. So it was a little easier to deal with those issues. Of course, World War II, everybody served, so
absolutely
a little different time.
Yep.
But the Commander's Task Force is kind of carrying on the work from those prior generations.
Absolutely, because like you said, but prior to World War I, there was no VA. There was no veteran-specific benefits. All of those things were kind of handled through different nonprofits, Red Cross, Agency, Salvation Army. So those World War I vets came back and really created everything, and subsequent generations have carried that on. Vietnam vets, you know, one of their biggest parts is, as you I'm sure know yourself, when they came home, the VA was kind of in disarray, and it was not a good place to seek services if you were a Vietnam vet. And they made sure that for future generations that was corrected and would never happen again.
You're exactly right. When we came back, there was no point in even talking to the VA, and so we didn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but today it's much better, and we have worked with prior generations and done a lot of work, and the Commander's Task Force is carrying on that work for today's issues, such as the PACT Act, mm-hmm. toxic exposures, those things that go all the way back to Vietnam, but right. It's burn pits and it's all kinds of things from your generation as well.
Absolutely.
So the PACT Act has been another big addition in the last year that Congress passed, mm-hmm. and it kind of opened the window to file some claims for Vietnam veterans and for today's current veterans, so that they'd have an opportunity to go file those claims and get some help from the VA. And my understanding is there's a lot of veterans that have signed up during that window.
Absolutely. Just in our claims offices in St. Paul and Fargo, last month the initial year of the PACT Act applications was coming to a close in order to get your retroactive pay. And we did about three times more claims in that month than we do in a normal month. So thankfully, those veterans are stepping up and seeking what they're entitled to.
You know, they served, they were exposed to some toxic issues, and they're entitled to be taken care of. So it's, for me as an old Vietnam veteran, watching that happen makes me smile.
Absolutely.
And of course, we've only got about a little over a minute left in this segment. You mentioned you're opening up three new homes, and you just opened up a new cemetery. Is the MDVA hiring? You're looking for people?
Oh, we absolutely are. So our new homes are in Bemidji, Montevideo, and Preston, and we're having kind of ongoing hiring fairs as we do our staged hiring process. So keep an eye out, MinnesotaVeteran.org. Follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and you'll know when those hiring fairs are occurring in those specific locations, because we need folks, especially healthcare folks.
We need healthcare folks, probably need some sanitation, some cleaning people,
all
some
dietary,
cooks,
housekeeping, absolutely.
Okay, and we had the opportunity to do a show from the Minneapolis VA home about a year ago. What a beautiful place, and the staff and the veterans that are there, it's like their family.
Yeah. I would say we have the Cadillacs of nursing homes for our veterans. So
to me, it was surprising. I hadn't been inside a home for probably 30 years. And to see it that clean and the veterans being that happy and the staff taking care of them. I think the day after we were there, they were having a barbecue outside. I mean, they were looking forward to that. So there's some good things that happen there, and I'm sure you want to continue those things going into the future.
Absolutely. We owe that all to good staff, and that's why we're looking for more.
All right. So anybody that's looking for a job, get a hold of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. They've got openings, and they need some good help to take care of our veterans. Brad, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Governor Walz. We're going to talk a little bit more about those veterans omnibus bills that have passed the last 2 years. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Interim Commissioner Brad Lindsay from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Brad, got a special guest with us today.
Absolutely, my boss.
Somebody you report to is yep. Governor Tim Walz. And Governor, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Tom. Great to be with you, ma'am, with our new promotion. Sergeant Major, always good to be with you. And Brad, grateful for all your work. He's out there christening new veteran cemeteries, making sure these homes are up and running. So thanks to you and your team.
Thanks, staying busy. And Governor, we're out at the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day.
Yeah.
Seems like it comes quicker every year, doesn't it?
It does. But boy, I was just saying, it's a perfect day out here. But this is a special one. As you well know, Tom, 50 years since our troops came back from Vietnam. And the acknowledgement over there at the grandstand was pretty amazing. Just the acknowledgement, the number over there was packed. Real sense of unity, and you mentioned it, a sense of emotion. I said, you kind of embody that Vietnam veteran, came back, did your duty, carved out a career, and changed the way we view veterans. I keep saying, of all those things now, the reason that military health care and cemeteries and all that are top quality is because Vietnam veterans came back and didn't have any of that and said, let's change that. And so here you are all these years later, keeping this radio program going, keeping folks informed. And when you see how people treat veterans today, that's because of Vietnam veterans. They didn't come back bitter. They just came back and changed things. So it was emotional.
Well, a lot of us are still serving, Governor. And yep. I got to tell you, that was supposed to be a march from the Liney Lodge down here. But my guys are getting kind of old. It was a stroll. But it was, and I joined, but it was way more emotional than I ever imagined, because there were no thank yous when we came back.
Yeah.
And all along the route, people were clapping and cheering and saying, way to go. I got a little choked up.
Well, you wonder in their mind if they also picture, I said, when they see it, you know, gray hairs a little bit and all that, but when they see our Vietnam veterans, that when these folks came back, they're 18, 19, 20, 20 years old. And to think about, they came back to really nothing, and they came back to a VA system that was overcrowded and didn't deliver. And now, all these years later, world's best health care, people standing on the side of the road clapping and saying thank you. And I think it changed how we discuss and debate. Civilians always should debate the use of the military. They shouldn't debate how we care for the veterans once that decision's made. And I think it feels to me like most folks know that now.
It's, you know, we're a little older and we ain't very pretty anymore, Governor, but everybody made it. I thought the guys in wheelchairs were going to do some wheelies for a minute there, but I didn't see anybody do it. Governor, you've had a couple of really interesting years in the state legislature because you've been able to pass the veterans omnibus bills. Yeah. Separate from the other legislation completely for 2 years in a row. Does that establish a tradition, Governor?
Yeah, better. My thing is that that's the baseline now. And I think for your listeners, you know, this is a group that understands the veterans issues. But the frustration many times with legislators is just the process. And they feel like, boy, you're getting, because nobody's denying that kids and nursing homes and roads and public safety are all important. But when veterans issues and military issues get caught up in what feels like, you know, kind of horse trading, it just doesn't feel right. And I think we did something in Minnesota that, as far as I know, is unique to the states. We decided, bipartisanly, unanimously, legislators, our administration, that we would negotiate that bill first before we did anything else. Before we talked about tax cuts, before we talked about taxes, before we talked about roads, we'd try and get that done, making sure that Brad and his team is fully funded, that if we're going to have a veteran cemetery, we're dang sure going to do it right. And I think for Minnesotans, that's a glimmer of maybe how things could be 2 years in a row. I would just say, I pity the people who decide that this isn't going to be what goes forward, because there's very few things that are more popular. You go say this in front of any crowd that we did this, whether they're veterans or not, and they cheer. It's just the right thing to do. And what I tell the legislators is, isn't it amazing how the right thing to do is sometimes very politically popular, too? So just go with it. Pretty easy. Just go with it.
And, Governor, the proof was in the votes.
Yeah.
You have hard-pressed to find anybody to vote against it.
No.
And it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So I know the Commander's Task Force. You talked to them. Brad works with
them. That's brilliant what they're doing.
They're out there working on other issues and things we need to do because we're sending people off. And, you know, Congress passed a thing called the PACT Act.
Yeah.
And it's all about toxic exposures.
That's right.
Goes back to Vietnam,
goes
to the burn pits, goes everywhere. And, and it was remarkable. It opened the door for some of those veterans that earned it to get some care from the VA.
Yeah, it's
pretty important.
Oh, real important stuff. It changed. I think we should thank our federal delegation, again, bipartisanly, who worked on that. You guys heard me over the years. We've been doing this now, Tom, about 17 years when I was a member of the House VA Committee. And I proudly talked about there was no separation amongst us. I think it's hard for the public to recognize that there's Democrats and Republicans who are good friends and work together. I remember when Jeff Miller, the chairman of the VA Committee, Florida man from the panhandle of Florida, and me, we went and these cemeteries. And we had a cemetery in the Philippines that got buried by Mount Pinatubo. This country said, we're going to dig out 20 feet of lava, and we're going to restore those graves because those were American veterans, some who died in Bataan on the death march, and we're going to do it right. That commitment really inspires Americans, and it's bipartisan. So you've always had a rule on here, no acronyms, no swearing, and no politics. Just get the job done. And I think that kind of holds over. Did I get that right?
Good memories. Good memories, sir.
You know that I have to be told on some of those.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording from the Minnesota State Fair today on Military Appreciation Day. We're talking to Governor Tim Walz and Interim Commissioner Brad Lindsey. Governor, there's a couple of things that you've been pushing hard since you became governor. One is veterans homelessness, and the other one is suicide prevention.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's going. Until it's done, it's not done. And I think this is a zero-sum proposition. I think when people hear these aspirational goals, we're going to get rid of veterans' homelessness. I think what you have to be very careful of is everybody wants that, but they're skeptical you're going to do it. So you have to measure it. You have to have a plan, and you have to show results. And here in Minnesota, Brad's probably got the numbers on this because he tracks it daily, how many folks we have out there. When we're talking about homelessness, we know people are going to move, have life things that happen to them. Maybe it's addiction issues. Maybe it's marital issues, whatever economic issues force them out there. But the goal is to make it short and temporary and move them through. And so I think we're moving there. The suicide issue is hard. It's more complex. Our society is seeing suicides amongst all levels go up. I remind folks that the vast majority of veteran suicides are folks that are not in the VA system. So if you have a family member, you yourself are out there, if you can, get yourself enrolled in this, because we know once folks are in the system, the chance of a suicide happening decreases dramatically.
And there's a new system. You just dial 988 and ask for help. And if you're not in the VA system and you're a veteran, call them anyway.
Call them anyway.
They'll help. And for our listeners out there, watch for a change in your veteran. If they're depressed, if they're drinking more, if something's happening, ask them if they're having a problem and get help. That's the only way to deal with that, isn't it?
No, that's great advice. And I think, you know, again, we're dealing with proud people. We're dealing with independent people. Veterans are sometimes a little too proud to go out there. And, we all know this. We're not going to go about and complain about it or tell somebody. This is where the family, this is where a friend needs to be. And there's no shame in this. Look, those wounds of war, if it were shrapnel in the arm or a broken leg, you wouldn't think twice about going and getting care for it. If it's on the mental, it's the exact same thing. And we know that now. The research is there. And I think the good news is on many of these things, we can treat them and you can get better. And that's an important point.
VA knows how to help.
That's right.
Reach out, get there. Deal with it and get on with your life. There's more fun things to have, like come to the fair and get
corn
a
dogs.
Pup. Corn dogs. Corn dog bottle pup. All right, we got that. Brad, you've been pretty quiet. I understand on the homelessness issue, we're down to the two biggest counties.
We are. We're down to Hennepin and Ramsey Continuums of Care, they're called. But we're making some... against what I would have thought years ago, Hennepin looks like we're going to meet the goal there before Ramsey. Hennepin County has really kicked in and put a lot of effort along with us. Additional monies that we got this legislative session for the issue. We're down to 330 veterans right now on our homeless veteran registry. But we're hoping by the end of next year to have Hennepin County declared and Ramsey County shortly after. So
go get him. And Governor, we had MacVie on the show a couple of weeks back, And they told me that they're not waiting for veterans to hit bottom anymore. They're catching them before they hit the bottom and get homeless.
Yeah.
And I think that's critical so that we can prevent this in the future.
Yeah. Again, for your listeners, they probably know this, but hopefully it's going broader audience on this. MACV are true heroes. Those folks do great work, and they're exactly right. We shouldn't have to wait till somebody's in crisis where we have those things ahead of time. And I think, as Brad said, moving back up that line, we're not having these repeat homelessness issues. And I always tell the story about the radical townhomes in Mankato. We went down there to visit, and I was in with a veteran in his home. And I said, what's the best thing about having not being homeless and having a home? He said, my granddaughter comes here and she's proud of me, and we spend time together in here. And that's what it means.
Beautiful.
That's what having a home means. You have a Vietnam veteran that grandchildren, things come visit him and enjoy his home.
And three new homes, so the homes are going to be closer to where the veterans are.
Amen. Amen.
Governor, last question. Right on the other side of the ramp in Dan Patch Park, there's about 50 different groups over there that provide resources to take care of our service members, veterans, and their families. That's quite a gathering. Did you run through there yet?
I did, and I'll go back over there again. Just so you know, I can't stress this enough. In all of the divisions in this country, about every single thing that's out there, the one thing that still unites us is a care for our veterans. And these groups that are over there, they fill very specific niches for different types of veterans. We understand our veterans population's changing. We have a lot more female veterans in our ranks. And we're aging in a different way, as you said, our Vietnam veterans. My goodness, our Gulf War veterans now are approaching retirement age in some cases. So it's that's happening. We have to be ready for that. I reminded people when I was in Congress, and this was in 2014, we were holding a hearing on benefits, and we had a child there receiving survivor benefits for a Civil War veteran. That guy was very active into his 80s, obviously, but he had a child who was alive in 2014, and he earned his benefits during the Civil War. So just to be clear, our commitment to these cemeteries, to these homes, is going to be extended long before any of us are still here, and that's what I think that's one of the things that binds our country together.
Governor, I'd like to thank you for stopping by the show again. I hope we see you a little later in the year for our end of review.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad to see you got your running shoes on today, because you're off to the races.
Off to the races. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Governor. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brad. Governor.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, and my co-host has been Brad Lindsay, who's the Interim Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Brad, that was a pretty fast second segment. The governor had a lot of things to say.
He was. He knows what he's talking about, so it's good to just let him go.
He was off to the races, and we got a lot of stuff in, and we'll cover a few of those things in the fourth segment. But you brought a special guest today, somebody who's been with the MDVA but has a new position.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim Miller is my new director of Veterans Education and Occupational Resources. He was our longtime supervisor and deputy director over our tribal veteran service officers and our field operations staff.
Jim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks for joining us at the fair. It's a little noisy, a little busy out here today.
It sure is, Tom. It's a lot of ambient noise.
Well, there's plenty of it, and it just gets everybody excited, even the governor.
Yeah.
So, Jim, this new position, can you tell me about it? What are you doing for Brad and the MDVA?
So in this position, I take care of everything that's got to do with veterans education within the state. So there's two main branches of it. We have the Higher Education Veterans Program, where we have 12 regional coordinators strategically stationed around the state, different universities helping veterans get their education benefits and start it. You know, when I first came back in 98, there was the GI Bill, just the Montgomery GI Bill. Since then, it has become immensely complex. There's many different types of GI Bill. There's Chapter 33, 35, 1606, and 7. So it takes a little bit of time to figure out what is the right path for each veteran and what they qualify for. So we have folks around at different veteran centers, 70 veteran centers around the different colleges that help veterans walk that path and get those benefits. The second part is the state approving agency, and those are the folks actually going and inspect each institution to make sure that they are meeting the requirements that the USDVA has set forward for them so that they can continue to get benefits or get GI Bill for the folks that are attending their institutions. So those are the folks behind the scenes that no one ever thinks about that are going through and making sure that all the T's are dotted and the I's are crossed to make sure that they're doing the right things in the universities.
So, Jim, what I'm hearing is when I got back from Vietnam, the GI Bill was kind of simple. There's just one kind of form of it. You apply for it, you get your assistance, you go to college, take care of it. Today, there's an awful lot of wrinkles and an awful lot of different spots. But when we're looking at veterans out here today, we're saluting the Vietnam veterans. There's a lot of them out here. They're my age and older. And then we got the Gulf War guys sitting over here around the corner and some younger guys. Are there programs to help all ages of veterans?
There is. If you've exhausted your federal stuff, we have the Minnesota GI Bill, and that is specifically for Minnesota veterans. That doesn't take into effect what your credits are, what you've used with the federal. It is a lifetime benefit. So, and this year it just got upped. It was $10,000 lifetime benefit, $10,000. It's a last dollar in program. And this year with the omnibus bill, it got raised to $15,000. So, and $5,000 per academic year, $15,000 lifetime. So, for that type of benefit, just go talk to one of our regional coordinators. They work with the universities. It's a last dollar in program. So.
So Jim, what if you've already went to the university? What if you're already working? Is there anything to help out there? Like, say I'm a plumber and I have to pay a license fee every year to keep my plumbing license, or I'm an attorney, or I'm a nurse. Is there anything to help with something like that?
The Minnesota GI Bill helps you with that also.
Awesome.
So if you're in a profession that requires some continuing education, like real estate broker, those kind of things.
Or radio host.
I don't think it covers radio host, but I do hold a real estate broker's license, and I send in a receipt to the end of each year, and I get reimbursed for that continuing education I have to maintain that license. And that's kind of a nice little benefit.
Absolutely. A lot of folks don't know about it.
We're speaking with Brad Lindsay, the Interim Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and Jim Miller, Director of Education and Occupational Resources, on Minnesota Military Radio from the State Fair. Brad, we talked a little bit about the omnibus bill in the legislature, and 2 years ago we passed the bill to get some bonuses for our veterans, and you added some money this last year, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the original bill, like you said, last year was the post 9/11 bonus. So anyone who served from 9/11 2001 until August of 2021. Is eligible to apply for the bonus. The original bill excluded those who entered service from another state. It required you to have entered service from the state of Minnesota. So anyone, those vets who's moved in over the last 20 years didn't qualify before. Now they do. That's been changed. And so anyone who was previously denied can go back into our system and reapply and will now be considered eligible for that benefit. We also had missed the fact of our Inherent Fury veterans who received the campaign medal for Operation Inherent Fury were not included in the original language for the higher bonus level of $1,200. That's also been rectified now, and so any of those who were denied previously or they were only given the lower bonus amount of $600 for being active service can now go back and get the additional $600 as well. So,
Jim, can you tell our listeners how and where do they apply for this bonus?
There's two ways. We've preferred for folks to go talk to their county veteran service officer, because if they go talk to their CVSO, they can assist them in creating the account to get the bonus, but also see what other benefits they might be eligible for while they're talking to their local CVSO. The other way is go straight to our website, which is
MinnesotaVeteran.org,
and you can go through the path there. We're building it so that with these new changes, it should be coming online in early September to be able to go in and reapply, do a new application or a reapplication. And we are going to do our best to get messages out to folks that have already applied. We can't guarantee it, but we're going to send a message out to folks that just got the lower amount to see if they do qualify for this.
And as always, if they've got questions, they can call 1-888-LINK-VET and talk to a person over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, get some information.
Absolutely. Any question you have on veterans benefits there, or like I said, MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Brad, we just got a couple of minutes left in this segment. Jim mentioned CVSOs, the County Veteran Service Officers. It's really the first place for our veterans to start if they've got any issues related to their military service, whether it's medical issues or they're looking for resources. You guys work really closely with the County Veteran Service Officers.
Absolutely. One-stop shop. I used to be one myself, and I can't speak more highly of those folks. They're the boots on the ground. If you're in a county, that's who you should be seeing first. Don't try doing stuff yourself on the VA's website. Go and get help and get assistance and make sure you do it right the first time, and they will be able to guide you, like Jim said, through all those other things that you might not even be thinking about when you come in.
And Jim, every county in Minnesota has at least one County Veteran Service Officers, and the bigger counties have more.
Correct. I think we're at about 140 total CVSOs and assistant County Veteran Service Officers across the state. So, yeah, every county by mandate has to have at least one.
And you don't necessarily have to go to your county. You can go to any County Veteran Service Officer. And I'm told that if you haven't gone in to visit them, get your discharge, your DD-214, go in and say hello, get it registered, because even if you don't need any help now, your family might need help at some point in the future.
Correct. Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, Brad, you're saying absolutely County Veteran Service Officer, first place to go.
There's no reason to go anywhere else.
All right. Well, Jim, I hope you have a great time in your new position with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Appreciate it, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Brad, we've got to cut this segment short. When we come back, we're going to wrap up a few things. We've got a few more details to share with our listeners from the Minnesota State Fair on a Military Appreciation Day. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, and my co-host for the show has been Brad Lindsay, who's the interim commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Brad, there's a lot of people out here today, and there were quite a few Vietnam veterans in that that called it a march.
It was. It was a sight to see. A beautiful day for it, too. I've been out here. We've been out here in some pretty miserable, warm days, but this was a perfect day for it.
Kind of a slow march, so it's a loose wording or use of that term, march.
As long as you can still march, it's marching.
We had those wheelchairs up front. I thought they were going to rev them up and pop some wheelies. That would have been fun. And I didn't hear anybody blowing any bugles, but it was fun and a nice salute from the good folks here at the Minnesota State Fair.
Absolutely.
We got a couple of things to cover. It's been really busy over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We touched on it earlier. You opened a new cemetery, and you're getting ready to open up three new homes. And I just want to ask before we start, you're hiring. You need several hundred people.
We do. I believe it's close to about 500 people altogether for the three different locations. So, yeah, absolutely. We're hiring, as we said earlier. It's everywhere from dietary to housekeeping to direct patient care. To HR, to finance, we need folks.
And what's the easiest way for our listeners to get a hold of you to see if they can get one of those jobs?
So if you go to minnesotaveteran.org, we've got all the links there, and there's FAQs and things like that that they can check out and get connected. But it's all on the Minnesota State Careers website as well, if anybody's familiar with that site and would like to go there and check as well. But I'd also follow our social media. We announce those career fairs on LinkedIn and also on Facebook. So just follow our Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs pages.
So I'm guessing you're hiring here in the Twin Cities, but more importantly, you need people in Bemidji, Montevideo, Preston, and down in Redwood Falls.
Absolutely. Those are new locations, but yeah, we're always looking for folks in the Twin Cities particularly. It's a large facility, and you know, COVID was hard on the healthcare industry, and so it's been a little bit of a challenge to find the folks to fill those slots, and so we're always hiring pretty much.
So, Brad, let's talk about veteran cemeteries. Most people, when they think about it, they think of Fort Snelling. That's a federal cemetery, and over the last, decade, we've been opening up state cemeteries. The first one was up by Camp Ripley, and then you went to, I think, Preston, and then Duluth, and now Redwood Falls is the fourth one?
Correct.
My understanding of that is you wanted to have the state veterans cemeteries out in the country so that they could be closer to your family if the family wanted to go and visit their veteran after their demise.
Correct, yeah. So we get a grant from the federal VA for construction of veteran cemeteries. They don't build a lot of national cemeteries anymore themselves. Their preference is to give grants to the states to do so. And the goal of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is to have a burial option for every veteran who wants to be buried in a veteran cemetery within 75 miles of their home. We've pretty much achieved that now in Minnesota. We've got a little bit of a gap up in the Bemidji area, and might be more to come on that at some point. But right now we fulfilled our legislative authority to build the four that we have in place as of last week.
And you at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs have a secret weapon out there, because the guy that's built these cemeteries started when they built Little Falls,
yes,
and then he's now in charge of building the rest of them. And I haven't been to all of them, but I understand they're beautiful.
They are, absolutely, yeah. Dave Swantek's our deputy director on the cemetery side. And as you said, he started in 1994 with Little Falls. I think he's the only employee that has more time in the agency than I do. And absolutely, he's put his heart and soul into every one of those, and he does a fabulous job. And he also has passed along his ethic of service to those families who are or having their loved one buried in one of our cemeteries. So all across the board, you've got the same quality of service and the same dedication of staff.
Well, we've had the honor to talk to him on the show several times. It'd be fun to get him back on there and talk about the number four Redwood Falls.
You just let me know the date, and I'll make sure he's here, Tom.
All right, let's check his schedule. We'll get him on the plan. We're speaking with Brad Lindsay, the interim commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, from the State Fair today. And, Brad, we've been talking about this for years, but the state legislature and the feds provided some money, and we were able to build three new veterans' homes, and they're going to be coming online pretty soon.
They are. We're hoping we'll have all of them online, and we'll have residents in place by the end of the year now. So they're all a little bit different stages. Most of them are very near completion. I think our last report, they're all between 93 and 96% of completion. So really, we're just cleaning up a few odds and ends, and we've moved in a lot of the furniture already. Like Preston's already stocked with the furniture and the finishings and things. So like we said earlier, getting the staff in there in place, and then getting our residents admitted, and then we've got some inspections to go through, and then we can go full bore filling those homes.
So you're coming in up on the end of it here, and you've got homes in Bemidji, Montevideo, and Preston. Bemidji has accommodates 72 residents, Montevideo 72, and Preston 54. Mm-hmm. You're going to have some grand openings coming up pretty soon, and you really need to hire some people.
Absolutely. So, it's a no-fail mission.
Yeah, not possible. So do we have a waiting list for veterans who want to move into these?
We do. We do already. Every one of the facilities has a waiting list. And those are being screened by staff now to determine the need, and making sure everyone who's being admitted fits the care level of those particular homes. So it's a process.
And once again, the new homes are in Bemidji, Montevideo, and Preston. And part of that's to keep those homes out where the families are so they can go visit their loved one.
Yeah, just like you said with the cemeteries, it's adding three more to the five we already have, and making sure that we've got the state covered as best we can so that we've got that option for loved ones in their communities.
Brad, I understand you got a donation from the Minnesota American Legion to help with this.
We did. We recently got one, and it's one of many. You know, it's $30,000 to be used at the three new homes to support spiritual services. But we've gotten so many donations from other organizations and the communities themselves to build these facilities. It's like everything else MDVA does. We couldn't do it without our partners and our stakeholders. And as we were talking about in the earlier segments, the Commander's Task Force and all the support that them and their organizations give us.
Minnesota's got a lot of organizations that help.
Absolutely.
It's kind of fun to be here and watch it all. And once again, you need to do some hiring, and these are good state jobs with good benefits, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. And all of them just got pay raises.
Are they standing back? Here they are. Yay, they got pay raises. So we'd like to make sure that all of our listeners out there know that those good jobs are out there. apply for them today. Come work for the state of Minnesota and take care of our veterans.
You bet. You bet. We need your help.
Last question, Brad. Where can our listeners go for more information on all the things we talked about today?
Once again, MinnesotaVeteran.org or 1-888-LINK-VET. You can call, and they also have chat, or you can go to the website.
Brad, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
This is Brad Lindsay, the Interim Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. So I've said several times today, we're recording from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. It's always a pleasure to come out here and do a couple of shows. We've done this one. There'll be another one on next week with the Minnesota National Guard. Today was a special day for me. I think most of you that listen to the show know that I'm a Vietnam veteran. I left Cameron Bay, Vietnam on May 15th, 1972. That's about 51 years ago. But at the State Fair today, the theme was Vietnam veterans. They're honoring my fellow Vietnam veterans. And they asked me to march in a parade from the Liney Lodge over to Dan Patch Park. And I did. Wasn't much of a march. We're kind of older now, and we don't move that fast. But it was more emotional than I thought it would be. The sidewalks were lined with people. They were cheering us on. They were thanking us. And it's something that I hadn't seen in my days as a Vietnam veteran. So to everyone that was at the fair today, thank you very much. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Governor Tim Walz, Interim Commissioner Brad Lindsay, and Jim Miller from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week for another show from the Minnesota State Fair with my co-host is Doug Wortham, and he's going to be interviewing the Minnesota National Guard from here at the State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. So that's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.